well. We got David First behind us right now playing the sitar. I believe Danny Tunick will be chirping in momentarily on a bongo. Up there he is. Okay. Hey, everybody. Thanks for sticking with me today and spending 3 hours of our time together on another wonderful Blursday. In a month called March, I think. Large Plants ending the program. That is a modern group. The record came out on Ghostbox just last year called The Thorn Hope. It is a feathered thing. Molly Lewis, new record is called On the Lips, out on Jag Jaguar. Our pal Swibs there on the Moog. Great, great cover of The Crying Game. 99 Letters before that from last year's Zigoku. Track we heard called Soto Dura Oni, and it's not the first time we've heard it. We loved it. Flaherty, Corsano, and yeah, that's Paul Flaherty, Chris Corsano, and Spencer, C. Spencer, yeah, doing 16 waltzes in 17 seconds. From a rock in the snow. My name is Scott, don't you know? And I got to go. Oh. Hey, this is Freeform Radio, WFMU in East Orange, WMFU in Mount Hope, New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, worldwide online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned. Hardy White is next.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we visit together and we learn to heal our own hearts the same way that gangsters in movies sometimes have to dig a bullet out of themselves. Using a mirror and just things that are laying around and whiskey, lots of whiskey. Do not ask or don't ask or tell for whom the bell tolls, but it may for you or thee or me. O Memento Mori. There's two. Memento Mori Amsterdam was a fellow that used to perform on campuses nationwide, reminding people that, yes, you do die. We are all mortal. And today's show is going to be an uplifting show about death. You say, oh, goodness, Hari, that's a taboo subject. Taboo? The restaurant in Palm Beach? No, I don't think so. The Kennedys used to go there. No, not that type. I mean, there's a prohibition against it. You're going to upset people. Hey, listen. Death is a part of life. The end of it. So, and the beginning has a name too, and I can't remember what it is. Well, there's birth, but that's not always how we get here. But death, pretty much you stop. And what happens from there is debatable. And there's a wonderful ongoing debate about it, and people have it until they die, and then someone picks it up. The dead don't usually have it because it's a settled matter for them. And they think, well, whoops, all right, all is revealed. Now, what are you going to speak about? Now, let's say you've just lost somebody. Oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. And I'm even more sorry if that person is you. And there are so many, I believe, recently dead listening to the show. And if you are, old Hardy would like to be a psychopomp for you. Psychopomp? What is that? That sounds like the band? Is there a band, Psychopomp? Everything's a band. Well, that can't be. That can't be the band? There's a band called that? That? The band? I mean, it just goes on and on. No, I want to be a psychopomp, and I can guide you through the afterlife. Now, they used to be more necessary, psychopomps, because people die, and then there's a river. You go, how am I going to get across this? And a psychopomp would be sort of, I don't know if you've been to the Thames, they have those Uber boats. That's basically what it is. And you're saying, oh, don't pay the ferryman until you get to the other side. Say, no, you must swipe your Oyster card right there as you get on, even if it's Charon or whoever. This time, it was a little fellow named Peter who was very accommodating. And he's like, yeah, swipe your card, Inna, he said, or something like that. I don't know. I don't speak it. Now, listen, they have, when you die sometimes, I'm sounding like Andy, what it is a funeral. I didn't know what it was. No, everyone knows what a funeral is. So when you die, they usually have a party, not a party. I don't know what it is, really. They get together, and everybody is sad together, which is a wonderful feeling, really. It does help dissipate it a little. You go, well, look, other people are, I'm going to take a crying break, because Aunt Sarah's crying enough for all of us now. And I'll start again when people stop, or when I start telling a wonderful story about love, and then it gets caught in my throat. Now, these funerals are, there's an American Way of Death, which is a book talking about, oh, isn't it wonderful how awful all this is? I'm being sarcastic. We have strange ceremonies of death in our culture. By our culture, I mean, I don't know, Miami, New York, where are we? Texas, where are you living? Shout out the name of your, this is going to be like Hee Haw. Shout out the name of your town, and I'll look through a mirror that has any glass in it and say it back to you. Now, that's romper room. Romper hall is what I'm doing here. He room doesn't sound good, but it's romper hall. It's basically the style of radio I'm doing. Now, when you have one of these funerals, they're changing over time because we realize these are strange, somber occasions, and not everybody has the time for grief in their busy society, and we'd like to just basically have pleasure, because life is often too short to have grief. And you really, I want pleasure even in my sadness. And I know the deceased would have wanted us to be throwing up drunk or something. They always have a wish like that. So he wouldn't have wanted us to mourn. Yeah, because he wouldn't want to be dead. Exactly. So let's bring him back to life as a puppet. Don't go that far. But maybe have a party. And they, a lot of the places have, they used to call them funeral homes, but then realized nobody really lives there. And then they realized that some people were living there. Living people. Well, I don't want to go into it. But now, I don't know what they call them. But these places now are doing sort of like end-of-life tribute things, where it's a big party, and there's even music and all, and maybe a band. And I'm going to tell you right now, that if you think you're going to get the band you want on that short a notice for Bubba's funeral or something, it's not going to happen. So these places need to start having kind of house bands, or at least somebody who can do requests. The DJ. I'm DJing at a funeral home or something like that. It wouldn't be too bad. Or even better, we'd do like custom. If you were like a wedding band thing at funerals, you could do custom songs, you know. I got a casket made of pine. Well, then that's fine. I don't know, you know, things the deceased liked in life. He liked his truck. He liked his, you know, friend Chuck. I don't know how they'd customize it. But we all would love that, have a party. Now, that's wasted on the dead a little bit because it is really for the living. It's for them so they don't have to remember the painful parts. Like, what are we going to do with the body? That's being taken care of for them, and there's a party. And let's see, what are the painful parts? Well, if a person was nice, you're going to miss them. So I'm not exactly sure what they do about that. It's going to get complicated with AI, where you can opt out of being without them. And you say, well, I guess with Papaw, let's keep having Papaw. Oh, are you sure? Yeah. Or have your grandmother, but it's just the phone calls. And they're accurate. And they're new. They're fresh. They're not recycled one. It's really your grandmother calling you going, what are you doing? And then you realize that you can tell it's AI because it's smarter. Then it's like, my grandmother wasn't that. You're saying things that she never would have said. So, oh, you got me. I don't mind. Oh, my goodness. I don't care who I'm talking to. A lot of times I don't know whether I'm speaking to a robot or a person. And that, by that, I don't mean that I think there's mechanical things in their head. It's just some people aren't really changing any of the input that they're getting. And they're kind of like a sophisticated tape recorder. There used to be these, I'm going to think of the name of it. You're yelling it now. Some of you are so nerdy music-wise, you're yelling the answer, even though I haven't even described it. But there were these keyboards that would play like a little piece of tape, you know. Let me take you, something like that. And so some people are like that. I'm gonna, it's the name will come to me eventually. No, it won't. I swear to God, I'm Meladibone, Meladibim. Don't correct me. It's a Belindabome. And if you say otherwise, you're actually showing your ignorance. And some people say Moog. That's not right. Maug is not right. It's Woob. I know exactly. It's Russian. So the letters don't mean what you think they mean. What's that? Is that N backwards? Nope. So listen, I'm saying if you're going to die, and I think most of us will, let's change, let's grab the tradition back. Let's take hold of these, the momentum of the culture of death and dying and memorial services, and let's change it for a while. People have done that before. Go to your local cemetery that's really old, and some of the graves have logs on them, like logs made of, you know, stone logs. And this is like a turn of the century thing. It was big for a while, maybe a couple decades, but it was a fad. It's like, we don't know, you know what, death's about life. And they started making things that look more natural and everything. So this, instead of these classical stone looking strange headstones. And I'm for that. You know, let's make bizarre sculptures or repurpose a lot of these concrete lawn ornaments as grave things on graves. You could glue them on or cement them on. So here's something I could describe to you. Here's my grave. Slab of concrete. On each corner, fixed. This is, they're fixed down, a gnome. And then another slab. So they're supporting that, the gnomes. You might need a fifth gnome in the middle for support. And then little boy peeing. Three, let's see, those are about two, I don't know, pretty high. Four at each corner, little boy peeing. Another slab on their head, okay? So they're acting as pillars. And then on top of that, birdbath bowl. Whereas I think, that's funny because that's my alma mater keeps going to that. Every year their football team goes to the birdbath bowl. And it's funny. You know, guano, guano, guano. I don't know why we yell it just there. That's, you know, guano is a reminder that even something like bird poo, which can land on you anytime, is in a way valuable. I've been in a cave out in Western Kentucky. They have mammoth caves, and they name it that because they're mammoth. I'm not even going to make a joke. They're enormous. Now, in those caves, back in the day, there was a lot of pooping by bats. I think in this case, bats. So, bat, you've heard the expression, bat poop crazy. Well, they say bat poop crazy because somebody walked in there and they went, oh my God, this provides us with one of the ingredients of gunpowder. And I don't know what you have to light to bat crap to make it explode, but I bet not much. I bet it's right on the edge of being explosive anyway. I think mo poop is like that. You just gotta find what it is to add to your poop to make it a powerful explosive. And a lot of you go, oh, I know what that is, hot sauce or something. You're all making funny bathroom jokes now. That's very Roman. I know this from, I dabble, you know, because my attention span. So I have a, because of the way I am, all my knowledge is like I've gone to a college level class on the first maybe first two days, like Monday and Wednesday, and that's it. But that's a lot, but I keep doing that. So I think that's interesting. And it just, so I know a little bit about this, a little bit about that, I dabble. So I know that the Romans, and I know this from going to an exhibit on Pompeii, which was buried in ash, and so it was perfectly preserved and everything. They go in there and say, look at now at Pompeii, like, you didn't just start it up again, you know, pry out all the terrified bodies are all going, ah, they're frozen in a pose of terror, you know, with their arms up, their fingers splayed and their mouths open going, you know, yelling the name of some local god, clear them out. And then everything else was kind of nice. And they had written things on the wall, graffiti and everything. And it was so much like what we have today. Just potty humor and stuff like that. And the only real difference between, my understanding is, between Pompeii and Boca is garum. And this is something I've talked about ad nauseum. And nauseum is the key word because garum, unlike ketchup, which is our popular condiment, tomato catsup, it's made from, like, fish guts and everything, so it smells a little like Thai fish sauce. Now, the worst... Oh, I'm just thinking now about partnerships where only one partner likes Thai fish sauce, and it's in the fridge and everything, and they open it, and the other person in the relationship doesn't. I know that can be tough. And it destroyed Pompeii. Might have been natural, too. But we know about that, this obsession with bathroom humor. So no matter how sophisticated you think you are and how many tile mosaics you have in your Roman palace, you gots to wash your... Who said that? Rhetus Foxus said that. And he was a Roman, a very powerful Roman and a member of the Senate. So remember that. Oh, kids today, you don't have comedy records anymore, thank God. But you can go to record stores and see what's left of them. And this, it's strange how few there are. Because there used to be a lot. Are people still hanging on generationally to their Shelley Berman albums? That's what I'm thinking. And that is very strange to me. I thought there'd be more of that. People sell back really good albums. Herb Alpert's Whipped Cream and Other Delights, now granted, for 700 million billion were printed. But that just feels like one that you wouldn't want to part with because it's good, you know, so that you find all these Herb Alpert albums where they're desirable in these records. But you go and you go, but then there's just not enough like Vaughn Meter. Or some, well, I guess there is, where they do impressions of the president. And this is what the president sounds like, you know, what in their house and everything. I don't want to do, we're so tired of presidential impressions now. I don't wish I could do impressions. Nobody wants to hear them anymore. Well, we got AI and everything, so who needs them? And now we're going past that. So now people just do impressions of machines and everything. Because I watch the YouTube videos go by. And, you know, back in the day, you might have seen, you know, and this is Jack Nicholson. But now they say, you know, hit the beat. And they poop into the microphone, and it sounds like a drum machine. Isn't that remarkable? I'm sorry. I hope I didn't just break the radio. That was awfully loud. Hardy, don't get that close again. They're running in the booth. I'm sorry. Don't do that in the microphone again. I'm sorry. I've never cleaned mine. I can't imagine if somebody came over to my house, they would get everything I'd ever had, and they'd be able to smell it, and they go, I know what it's like to feel like we've made out. There's all sorts of things in this. If this microphone can talk, it would vomit. That's the first thing it would say. Just all those years of being shoved in. This one has a glorious history, because this mic used to be shoved in the faces of Florida politicians, and there's so many jokes there. They aren't my kind of joke. I'm a gentle person, a loving gentle person, And I believe that often, here's how I feel about insults. I believe that life itself is insulting in a lot of, or just the way we have to, all the things we have to go through, humiliating. I don't really need it from other people. And I guess, you know, they're thinking, well, my job is to abuse you so you're tougher. Nah, I don't know what it is. Oh, my job is to take out my frustrations on you. There you go. That's probably it. But here's where I'm coming from. I have frustrations. So, and I don't want to take them out on others because I'm a practical person. And I don't want to drag other people into my misery because I don't want any people in my misery, including me. So I'm going for a zero population for Miseryville. So I don't want to bring any other people into it. I don't want company. Misery might love company, but we're trying to get rid of misery and establish Joyville. Man, Joyville loves company, loves a party, probably too much. A lot of it's, you know, a little too, nothing weird, but, you know, just a little too lovey. I need a little balance in my life. I've always thought that. I love being gentle and sentimental. I need it in my life, you know. But I've overdosed on it, and it's just like pouring sweet and low up your nose or something. And it just, it's awful and debilitating, sentimentality. And you turn joy into grief by clinging to the past or something like that. So no. And then as we go into the future, I like to be optimistic, but not, and I'm so sorry, Pollyanna, a Pollyanna. I don't want to be naive. I want to be optimistic, and I want to be hopeful, but I don't want to be a chump. So therefore, I try to always keep my wits about me, and a kind of cynicism that's closer to the original of Diogenes. Now, I do not go around laying nude in downtown in a big clay pot, which I would camp in one. I don't know exactly how they look like in that. They say, oh, he would sleep in this big vat or something. I don't know what the equivalent nowadays would be. I guess they got breweries around here and stuff and distilleries, maybe just a giant vat. I don't know if I can get one. I'm going to call the nurse. Hey, I'm looking for a vat.
What kind of vat?
Big vat, big old vat.
Big enough to do a corn mash in when you're making whiskey?
That's a little, well, that's pretty spacious. You know, they didn't say that. His vat might have been, because some people say he lived in a bathtub. That isn't really what it was. It was a big clay jar or something, but big enough for a person. But what if it was so big that he did it was like a little house? But anyway, Diogenes out there living like a dog, eschewing materialism, yelling at famous people, doing private stuff in public. Just what a wonderful guy. And we all love Diogenes. And people try to say, Diogenes, you need a radio show. And he's like, radio? I don't need nothing. You know, I'll tell you what I need. I need food and I need food or something like that, he'd say. He was very clever. And I didn't write anything down because obviously I had no place to put it. And if you're naked, where do you keep your pen? I know what you're saying. But, you know, I've got important, that's my passport's there. So I don't have room for a pen or anything. I don't know what they did in those days. How'd they write? Oh, that was before they had quills and ink, and they had to chisel everything in stone if they wanted to write. Now, before that, they would mark tablets, clay tablets, and then you'd have to wait till it dried before you sent it. And cuneiform. Isn't that something? I'm trying to learn a word a day. Coins are those things on the side of buildings, those little cornerstone things that are every other things. And I use that one for Scrabble. Get to the point. I was talking about death, and now you've gone off and you're trying to impress people with the little things you know and the trivia of your life and let it all fall away because we're talking about life and death and the things that really matter. Does it matter? It matters and it doesn't matter. I try not to think about it during the course of the day because, you know, when you're going, you're just buying some tomato juice at Kroger, the checkout person doesn't want to hear about your existential musings. So we only get one life.
They're not interested in that. And memento mori, MF-er, that doesn't help. And so what I'm trying to do is I want to try to get a movement going where we have parties. See, weddings have gone in kind of a bad direction. You see that online and everything. You know, oh, people are doing weird things, choreographed stuff where everybody does, because it's meant to be filmed, right? It's all performative. It isn't really, so the beauty of ritual is it's immersive. You know, you're in it and the power of other people around you and the weirdness and the mystery of it. Now everything is done as like it's a Broadway show to be photographed and looked at later. It's all being done for the future. It's all a production. And so these rituals have just, you know, now funerals, it's not, we haven't really, since the Victorian age, we haven't been really, as a rule, taking pictures of the dead. People used to do that. They'd put, you know, poles up their butts and pose them in the corner and say, you know, here's the last picture of Mr. Porter, and or, you know, dead, prop the dead Victorian child up and take a picture. That's the stuff of nightmares. So we stopped for a while. And so funerals still are this zone where we don't, but they're horrifying. I mean, the last one I went to, the interior design is just, it's no church. It isn't, I'm not sure what it's supposed to evoke, but it just makes me so sad. It's like, it's almost disgusting. Like there's pale shades and it's meant to look kind of quasi-religious, but not, I don't even know. And there's kind of a fine line between it and the sort of parlors and nursing homes. So it's just a more still rec room for, you know, people have just transitioned. And, you know, often the casket is open at the at one end of the room and people are sort of pulled back to the other end because that's just what you do when there's a dead body in the room. You tend to, like, some people want to go stare at it, but a lot of times you go, I'm going to get this seat over here at the far end. There's got to be something. Now, there are cultures that do different fun things, you know that, and I don't want to be irreverent about it because I believe there is a you know, dignity in death. But a little bit of, I just worried there'd be, I'm not, nothing against country music, but I'm just worried that people would sort of low effort it and there'd be an acoustic guitar, and that is not what we want. We don't want that, where we start going to these places and it's like, oh, this is kind of folksy, and the floor's wood. That's what I dread, is that funeral homes are going to look like a Cracker Barrel with nothing in it and the guy sitting in the corner on acoustic guitar doing sort of like sad stuff. And that is not what we want. I was thinking more something like, you know, Hot Club of Paris jazz, kind of, you know, Django kind of stuff. That'd be fun, right? I think that'd be good for a funeral. And what's the flooring? I don't know, something that's easy to maintain. I don't want to go crazy. You know, just a nice tile. Not tile, but, you know. I don't know. I'll have to think about that. Because maybe a short pile rug. You wouldn't want it to be a loud room. Okay, I'll get back to you on that. Oh, and definitely curtains to adjust the acoustics in there. A little dais where people can get up and say stuff, maybe. Built-in screens and slideshows, because everybody wants to do kind of a presentation. We love that in the pictures and all. Nothing. I don't want anything nuts. You think, oh, you're so imaginative. Why don't the, you're being usually more surreal, Hardy. Yeah? Have the corpse dancing around. No, I'm being serious. I was hoping that we could, you know, I really want this to change. I really want it. And nobody ever listens to the dead. You can say all day, at least, like, people are going to honor my wishes when I die. No, they're not. They never do. Almost never. Because a lot of times your wishes are nonsense. And they also don't take into account that it's a hassle for the person having to carry them out or whatever. And ashes, I don't know. Like, people are weird about them. So it's human remains, you know. But it's pretty much everything's gone out of it that's going to cause problem, I think. And But I'm not a morbid person. I don't think we need to be in the presence of reminders of death all the time. And I sort of like forgetting about it. I like it coming back to me when I want to sort of sober up, so to speak. You know, when I want to put things in perspective, or I just want to get back into the moment instead of living in the past or living way in the future. How do you do that? Well, you live in your old planning stuff. Oh, I'm living for this moment here, and someday we're going to have this, and I got to do this and that and other thing, and everything's going to be all right. Or, you know, we're trying to get back to a time when everything was all right, or mourning that things have changed or anything like that. You're stuck in either direction. And the problem is that as a entity, as a creature, you don't exist in those places in time. You're stuck in a sort of present, and that's the best way to you know. So you don't have to go into those places to deal with them, you know. So don't go into the future before it's time to go. Just like Skype, take a peek. Because you got to peek, you got to plan and see consequences. You don't want to live your life without seeing consequences or knowingly avoid them. Oh, my goodness. Don't do that. That's where start, please, Star Trek. Next generation, give us the plans for your holodeck. Because I think it'd be so helpful to run through scenarios while I'm making a decision. Let's say I want to apply for a job. So I've applied for a job with this company called, looks around the room, Sparkling Corporation. And I want to know what my life would be like if I joined that. So it's a kind of, It's a Wonderful Life holodeck kind of thing. And you can experience, run through it in a yellow millet dream type scenario and come back. And then you can make your decision in a more informed manner. Now, you can only go into one of many possible worlds, but at least you could get a glimpse. And I try to do that whenever I interact with people. So what are the consequences of my behavior? I want to be myself, but I also want to understand that, you know, I may be misinterpreted or something. So I like to be a combination of a self-conscious me and the authentic me. And the result of that is absolute, complete, utter phoniness, I think, which is beautiful. I love it. I love my mask. I'm in my wonderful, where's the real Hardy? I'm not telling. I don't want to tell. I'm not interested in being dissected or having to undergo an autopsy while I'm alive. So, and people will do that. They want to inspect your life and say, What is your story? Where are you from? What's this all about? Who are you? And they'll tear you apart looking for the answer. They'll cut you up looking for it. How's this run? They pull it apart. That's what they wanted to do to E.T. or Et. They call him Et on his own planet. Et, the turtlehead boy who came to Earth and met the scion of a very famous acting family. So weird. So he meets Turtle Space Boy meets a Barrymore, and they go on adventures. And he gets to know a little something about our world, and it's horrifying. And they want to capture him and cut him up to see how he works, and he doesn't want to be cut up, because he's just a little, turns out he's just a little boy. And, you know, because they grow longer, he was just waddling around on like penguin feet, but they grow really long legs when they're grown up. And they look wonderful. They're just tall and lean and have bright teeth and everything like that. Beautiful, beautiful people, the Ets. Where am I? Why am I even talking about space? Did they die? Yes, because we saw him getting sick. And he almost perished. And it was his inability to reach his family by phone. This is, again, another odd thing. I don't know how any of that works, that they have phones. They're from so far away, and they got the same word, phone. Maybe you said it like that. You go, phone. What are you trying to do at phone?
Where are you phoning? Phone! Phone! He's screaming, and there's flesh is falling off of him. Like a salmon, like an elderly salmon. He's starting to rot while still alive because his days are gone. He's already spawned. Not this one, though. Not E.T. I have no business talking about science fiction. It is not my milieu. It's something that I've read a couple science fiction things, and I enjoyed them, but I don't know much about it. And I know there's some people that devote their whole lives to it and go to conventions and everything to meet actors who play their favorite characters in science fiction. And there's different kinds of science fiction. There's fanciful kind. There's hard science fiction, which is like where you can't really understand it. I guess like Pynchon or something. And then there's soft science fiction, which is like soft jazz. What it kinds is fantasy, which is a sort of science fiction of the past. What was the past not like? Just the way, what's the future not like? And these all, they spur the imagination. There's many tales that can be told, things that can be sold. And keep rhyming. I don't care to. But I love you anyway. Oh, my goodness. I don't have to be. That's, I realize that as I get older, I can love imperfectly. It's okay. I'm not going to feel bad that I can't. Sometimes am I always a good friend? I have no clue. That's not for me to say. Do I feel like I'm not always present and as loving and as attentive as I could be to others? Yeah, sure. But, as long as I'm still striving, I think it's too early to really decide whether I'm failing at it. Now, at my funeral, I think it's okay to say, in conclusion, Hardy was, and then you can say, good, not good enough. But it's, what a blessing to not be there. Maybe I'm good enough. But I guess it's really not the question that I'm here to answer in my life. Oh, I'm just stumbling and mumbling around. I'm just trying to create a distraction. Probably radio is not the place to do it. I'm trying to be anonymous. Probably New York, New Jersey area is not really the place for anonymity. Oh, it isn't? I think New York City, North Jersey, what's more anonymous? Especially the very populated areas. It's really crazy, and there's no anonymity in small towns, but there's plenty of anonymity in New York and even in their media markets. You know, I don't know who's the number one like local. I don't know. Listen, bless you. And who's living in that apartment across the way? I don't know. They never come out. I know they're good. Well, sometimes I see them from behind. So I know that they wear, you know, a large hat, large round hat, almost like like a Turkish sultan or something from the Middle Ages. Are you sure? No, I'm not sure. They might work for Sesame Street. So that could be they just wear the thing home. You never know. I never know. You don't know what people's lives are like. Bless them. And there they are, living in obscurity. Now, Epicurus said live obscurely. And I don't think that he was wrong. Because if you don't live obscurely, then your life, other people steal it and take it. And then they say things about you, and then you have to live as a character in their world. And you just want to stay your main character in your world. But that means keeping it local. Oh, Hardy. I'm most familiar with you as just a brand of pancakes. Really? Yeah, your pancake brand. Well, I'd like to talk about that for a minute. Hey, y'all like pancakes? I'm not selling anything. I kid you. Something that I'm enjoying on, and if you're a radio fan, and you must be, because if you're listening to me, you got to be hardcore. But on AM talking, and a talk radio for ages going, this is going back pretty far. There was this, and Larry King would do it real well, integrate the ad into your patter. So you're talking and blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about architecture, and all of a sudden I articulately, wonderfully, smoothly transition to talking about itching powder. And then I give a spiel about how this is the best itching powder and number one in the country. And if you've got, you know how it is. I'm sitting here all day, and I'm not going to lie to you. I get an itch down there. And so I powder it up with talcum. And sometimes I've been, you know, you're smoking a cigar at the same time, and boom. Talcum, that's what you add to poo. The so they work this in, this ad into the, and it was just, it's wonderful. And they do that now on YouTube because I'll be watching it. And, you know, if you do have a YouTube channel, you know how difficult it is to get listeners. That's why Listen Damn It is such an incredible service. And that's why I use it. And that's why we use Listen Damn It. And what it does is it goes around to people's computers and basically hijacks them and say, I know what you've been doing, and I'm going to tell everybody you're looking at this, that, and the other thing. And they go, oh, I'm sorry, what do you want me to do? And you go, you got to listen to this particular podcast, and it's you. And so I can't do that. And Listen Damn It can, because they have the, they know they got the algorithms. And back to our programming. So you were telling me about the time that you were murdered in the woods.
Yes,
That's how that would, that's art. I'm not like that. I've listened to myself on the radio. Oh my goodness, I should have had lessons. How do you get lessons? You probably study. It's a really, it's a paradox though. If I wanted to get better, the way would be to listen to other broadcasters. But if I listen to other broadcasters, I don't want to. So that's kind of a fix I'm in. So I have to guess what is good radio talking. And since just generally in my life, good, great, they're not in there, good enough is my only gear. That's fine. It's like second, you can do amazing things in second gear. I don't care what the cast of Friends says. You can. I guess it's not them. It's the people who did the stupid theme. It's a good theme. But I like it, you know? I'm just going to, I think if you do try too hard, y'all don't want me to get some kind of colon thing from stressing out. Oh, I'm putting so much into the show that I can't. I've got bloody mucusy diarrhea or something. You don't want that from me. You don't want to hear about it. Well, I apologize. But I don't want to be that stressed. You don't want to be that stressed. Stress it, mess it, cess it. It's not worth it. And if I think, I've thought that with actors, you know, looking back, I'm not going to mention any names. You say, oh, that actor's putting a lot of themselves into that. Whoops, they're dead. You know, it's, I don't require that from art. You know, I don't want it to kill you. So if that's what you need to do to get to that level of genius or something, please don't bother. Don't. It's not worth it. I mean, it really, really isn't. Let somebody do it who's not killing themselves. And I think that about writing for TV or anything. There's a lot of people in, I don't want to say industry because I don't think it produces anything, in this weird endeavor of media that they're killing themselves. I don't know why. And I know how big an audience I like, and it's about wedding size. So I know that. I know the room. I know what I like to, I go, hey, this is, every time a wedding, I don't get drunk at weddings because then that, you know, it's bad as sober. But if I get a microphone and that's that amount of people, it's really manageable, you know. You can make eye contact with everybody, sort of know half the crowd and everything. Perfect. So I know myself and I know what I can handle. And also nobody's knocking down my door. It's because of my beautiful, consistent track record of mediocrity, too. I'm telling you, don't have to be the best person. Just don't lose your job. But don't do that thing where you kill yourself, because they're going to let you do that, no matter what line of work you're in. You know,
they will totally, whoever is responsible for cutting your paycheck will let you kill yourself doing it. So you just got to fool them into not firing you. Now, people who have responsibility, like, if I don't do my job, the train will derail, continue to do that. A lot is resting on that. We don't want you to do that kind of, you know, half-arsed, please. But if you're doing some sort of spreadsheet to see how many boomerangs your novelty company is selling, go slow. That's all I'm saying. And I know you say, well, there's lots of underpaid people around the world who depend on those plastic boomerangs. We can do better. Oh, my friend, I'm your psychopomp. You have perhaps passed away in your sleep, which is a beautiful way to go. But I got stuff to do tomorrow. You don't know that. You don't remember that. Start, fresh start. Where am I? Exactly. Well, first of all, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Hardy White. I am your psychopomp. I will be guiding you in your first phase in the afterlife. We do have a couple of transportation options available. We will be providing a traditional boat, but we also have a train that goes under the tunnel, which I'm trying to think of a fun acronym for it. I will. It isn't the PATH train, and it doesn't rhyme with it. What PATH? It's PATH, but the H stands for hell. To hell. To hell. Athens to hell. I'm going to get it in a minute, but you can take the train or the boat. And then when we get there, I'm going to guide you, sort of like, what do I, first day in, we call it hell, it's afterlife. Traditionally, hell isn't bad, necessarily. It's just where the dead go. Heaven, I don't know. It's what you make. You know, you. One person's hell might be another person's heaven. I don't know. You know, you get to, could you imagine you get here and you go, palm trees? I hate palm trees. And you go, well, we tried. So there's even TV shows like that. It's all relative. So we just call it hell. But I want to get you acclimated. And because you're going to all sorts of things you're going to need. Just like, so the weirdest thing is it's very much like Japan in that you'll need this stamp, right? Peta peta. You're going to need to stamp everything. It's like your signature here. So we're going to get you one of those and maybe a little case for it to go in. Isn't that fun? There's so much you have to learn. You were worried about being dead. I didn't even want to be dead. I was, when the plane was going down, I was screaming. I know, you feel like an idiot now. You get here, it's wonderful. The sad thing is a lot of people thinking that you don't want to rush here because you don't know where you're going necessarily. So you rush to get there and you go, wah, wah. I feel like maybe the afterlife is like the, you know, the Monty Hall game. He probably resents that. You go, why is it called the Monty Hall problem? I'm just the host. I didn't even write the bit. You know, this is your beef is with the creators of Let's Make a Deal. But anyway, you've got three doors and, you know, you got a chance. You know, one is a goat, which is the symbol of Satan. So that's hell, classical hell. One is a car, which is its own hell, car ownership. And the third is washing machine, which is neutral, I think. It's neither hell nor not hell. You could put a baby to sleep by putting it in a car seat and then putting it on the washing machine. You don't leave it unattended. They should make little straps. That would be great to strap in. What are you talking about? So a lot of times infants have maybe a hard time going to sleep and everything, and you need something to kind of vibrate and on the dryer or the washing machine, you could sit them on that, turn it on, and it's got brown noise and vibration. So it'll go. So you can stand there in a sleepy new parent zombie state while, and we got to keep a hand on, you don't want it to vibrate off the baby. Keep a hand, you got to put it in the car seat, strap it in. But it'd be nice if I hope you're listening, Samsung. If the washer dryers had little, you could fasten the baby onto it. there's something to consider. So I don't know. We'll you know, if that comes out, I'm going to be so shocked. I've started a lot of trends, and then they happen, and I go, what? I had a big, long, white beard. First one that I knew, and nobody else had one. People go, are you a rabbi? I get that all the time. Are you a hillbilly rabbi? Oh, yeah, that's me, the Bubba Rebbe. And I'd get that all the time. And then all of a sudden, David Letterman grows his long, white beard. And then Michael Stipe grows the long, white beard. And I was like, well, God, they must have seen me. How did they see me? I know I saw Michael Stipe at a party years ago, but I didn't have my beard, so that couldn't have been it. But then, and so I shaved it. I said, I can't have this because people know them. They don't know me. They just go, oh, you got a long white beard like them. I go, no, they got a white beard like me. I came first. They just didn't know it. Well, it's so frustrating. And I'm not the first person with a long white beard. I mean, I think that's Darwin. But now I'm just in between because I want to look like the British aristocracy used to, you know, or the British royals. What do you call it? The other ones that are not quite royal. I want to look like them, you know. But I'll tell you what the origin of that is. Is I got these old coins. Somebody had gone like mudlarking and they gave me pennies. Some of them are Victorian. Some of them are the Georges. Well, the Georges have wonderful little beards and I like that shape. And sometimes I'll take the coin to the barber and I'll say, you know, give me the George V or whatever. It's which one number. I get the numbers all. It's weird how they have their last names are numbered. Well, we had Eugene Five Debs. And there's one individual laughing. And that's probably somebody whose middle initial is V. And they go, I get that all the time. I love you. Oh, my goodness. Have I told you recently? I can't tell you how grateful I am for our relationship, and I know it's parasocial, and I love it, and I love I'm for that. I don't care that we don't know each other. How can you love me? You don't know me. I know you from your name from the marathon because you gave $35. No, you didn't. You gave $100, but you broke it up over three shows. So, but I recognized you there. I say thank you, and that's how I know you. So I know you, and they put your last name up there, so I know that. I love knowing. And then what I do is I'll go online, I'll just look up stuff about you. You know, I'm curious. What do you do? You know, is that how much money is that? You know, no, I don't do that. That's the most awful thing. I think I just lost my show. No, I've never done that. Nobody does that. That's a level of caring that we should do, maybe. You know, that's what the evil, like the social media stuff does, and because then we could analyze your moods, you know, what show should we steer them to manipulate them out of more money. But that's funny. Also, we're in this not money-making situation. It's just a subsistence endeavor, which is also strange, right? So it only has to be really good enough to keep going, because where are we going to go? Well, someday I'm going to make money. No, it won't. You see, that's the great thing. It just lives. It never thrives. And I think that's wonderful. It's a bonsai, and it's old. It's older than it looks. And you know, you realize that when you go to the station, you go, "Oh, God, you all sound so young." But no, knurled old bonsais is what we are. Lumpy old ficus. He's one of my favorites, still on the air. And doing our thing, and we do love you. And I do feel it is like, I think it is like family. And the more I find out about y'all's families of origin, I'm so sorry. Come on over here. You want a surrogate something? I will be. I don't say uncle, that's ruined. Cousin, older cousin, second cousin, first cousin once removed. That's what it is. Your parents' first cousin. That's what I want to be to you. Your first cousin once removed. Hardy. You know, I think that, or twat, maybe your grandparents' first cousin. My grandmother's first cousin, Cheese Ray, was a remarkable person. So, I didn't know Cheese Ray, but it's real. Now you're thinking you made that up. You know I didn't. If you listen to the show, you know that's a real human being. And that's what I want to be to you, maybe. And you can, unlike the real Cheese Ray, I do not have a collection of buggies, horse and buggies. And nor am I an aspiring country singer. But I do occasionally smoke a pipe, and that's it. And that's where the similarity ends. And we share an ancestor. Maybe you and I share an ancestor. I'm sure we do, you know, because all monkey people of Earth do. And we're reminded of that when we see each other behaving in the wild. And we realize, oh my goodness, we are creatures that are governed by so many things that are beyond our control. And sometimes it's just horrifying. Oh, just to be at the mercy of this biology that drives us and compels us to do all sorts of things, a lot of them against our best interest. Fear, we are often consumed by it. Oh, my goodness. I just want to be able to warm your heart a little and give you a respite. Yes, sucker. I want to provide some sucker from this thing that is out there upon you and that burdens you, and that I shall be a salve and not a salt unto your wound. What kind of salve? It was something about the consistency of aloe. Crack open one of those aloe leaves and rub that clear, sticky stuff on your wound. That's me. Oh, I am your friend. I am your friend on the air. I am air itself. I am electrical air. I'm your friend for life. I'm the life of your friend. We shall meet together at the very end. This isn't it. This ain't the end. There is no end in them to now. There is no end to now. Now is now. Now is always now. Now is now forever. Oh, my goodness, there is eternity in each moment. Know and find out, learn how to capture the infinite in the infinitesimal. You can expand a fraction of a second into infinity. It is perspective. Oh, expand that. Stay out of the past and the future and join me now right here, the present. Oh, my goodness. Present joy, just like the Shakers say. Trying to be simple. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'm simple. I got a complicated life, but I'm a simpleton. And I don't mind being that. I'm not even the mayor of Simpleton. I'm like the water district manager pursuivant of Simpleton. And that's basically, it's just a ceremonial position. I don't even have any authority. I don't want any authority because I'm sort of anti-authoritarian. That's terrible. I know I don't make a very good anything, really, because I'm not good with bosses. That's my only thing. But I don't think there has to be any. But I know that's an unpopular. Yes, there does. Everybody has to have somebody who torments them and guides their life against their will. I don't think that's true. But I'd be willing to not debate it with you. And meet you over there. Oh, my goodness. We're reaching the home. Oh. There is an end to the show. They don't give me an infinite amount of time. I couldn't do it. I'm no Glenn Jones. I couldn't be on. He was on. He has the world record, and he's on the air straight for, without a break, or I think it was like a year or something. I don't remember, but it's long. It's like an impossibly long period of time. And you think, well, that can't be. Well, there it is. And
I can't do that. But I could do an hour and 10 minutes, I think. But that's not a slot. They won't do that because that screws up the schedule. Say, well, now the next show starts at, you know, 7:10. Or that doesn't make any sense.
Well, the clock is an arbitrary thing. You know, what is an hour? Day makes sense. Year makes sense. They have planetary, you know, basis in the cosmos. Hour, that's arbitrary. An hour can be as long as we want it to be. Why can't an hour be, you know, it doesn't even have to go into, well, let's divide by 12. No, it doesn't have to be anything, be completely arbitrary. So let's start making up something different. This is ridiculous. I'm constrained, but everything is suppressing me. That's not true. It isn't, because I'm not participating. But if I were, gosh, it would be oppressive. I'd like to just show up at somebody's place of work and start complaining and then just say, quit and leave without ever being hired there. It feels so good. I'd do that every day. Just go sit in the break room and go, you know what? Forget this. I quit, and just storm out. And it's so cathartic. I've done it in real life, and it's nice for a few minutes. I imagine it's like smoking crack or something, because it wears off, and then you go, uh-oh. You are listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9. And then, oh, I did it. I got to start over again because I tried to flip the. You are listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Oh, my goodness. It's so glad. I'm so glad to be with you and to have visited with you. And it was a wonderful marathon, and you blessed me so much. And we had a wonderful time, and it was good to see all my friends. And I will see you again next week.
Twins name is Ebony.